Praise the Lord. Let's just bow our heads and commit the sharing to the Lord. Father, thank you, Lord, for this wonderful time, O God, and this privilege and honor to be here before thee, Lord. Indeed, Lord, we look forward, O God, to thy Holy Spirit, O God, to come and take control of this sharing. And we look forward, Lord, to hear from your word. Lord, you take control, Lord, and help me to bring forth your word. I pray, Father, that thou will help me to lift up our understanding, to know the spiritual warfare that we are fighting, and to know how we should walk as a child of God by the leading of thy Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord, for this wonderful time, O God. I pray, Lord, and commit this sharing unto you. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated, brothers and sisters. This morning, I'd like to touch on the topic. Return to the book of Galatians, chapter 5, verse 16. The title of my sharing is How to Walk with the Holy Spirit. Book of Galatians, chapter 5, verse 16. For this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Brothers and sisters, the journey that the Lord has given us, after He has given us the salvation and give us the Holy Spirit, now this is the time where we are earnestly going through a process of regeneration to grow and to mature in the Lord so that we can be more like Him and learn how to walk in the Holy Spirit. Walking in the Holy Spirit, you have to be very conscious that in your spiritual life, how is the Lord talking to you? How is the Lord communicating with you? God do not need to talk to you through great signs and wonders like the Old Testament. He is there every day, every moment, trying to communicate with you. But you as an individual, do you know that He is trying to talk to you every day, every moment? What do you think that He would say to you, right? If you were to go to Him and say, Lord, today I'm very busy. I don't have time for you. Correct? So, what are we looking for? Is it because my parents are there, you know, maybe God will talk to me through them? That's not the way, right? So, the daily communion and the daily conversation with the Lord is something that we must be more aware and we must be alert, right? Because it is not good. The life that we have, you know, when we have the truth, the devil knows he cannot take away the truth from you. What will the devil do? He will flood you with a lot of information until you don't know which one is the truth. And you will have a terrible time trying to discern whether is this the truth or is this not the truth. Why? Because that's the best way he can get at us. He either take away the time that you have, take away your attention, and take away where the purpose, right, that the Holy Spirit is given to us to teach us and guide us. There are many ways the enemies can come against us, but let us be aware of the key areas that he can stir, and he's not going to leave us alone. The spiritual warfare is a reality, and I want all of us to be aware, right, that when we are caught on this walk with the Lord, the spiritual warfare is for real. Whether you like it or not, the devil is not going to leave you alone, right, and give you a good life, right? It is going to be something that he's going to come at us and keep on attacking us until we realize that it is a warfare. Let's turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 8. Reading from verse 27, right? And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, I'm reading Matthew 9, apologies. Matthew 8, verse 28. And when he was come to the other side, into the country of the Gergesenes. There met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, "What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Thou art come hither to torment us before the time?" And there was a good way off from them a herd of many swine feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, "If thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine." And he said unto them, "Go." And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine, and behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. And they that kept them fled and went their way into the city and told everything and what was befallen to the possessed of the devils. And behold, the city came out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coast. See, the devil is just like in the time of Jesus. Right now, the devil is also attacking all the people. You know, we heard of many cases of demon possessions, all the attacks through the lives, the drug addict. You know, Satan is not leaving us alone. He is polluting, right, the world through all this sinful spiritual life, right? If this warfare is not obvious, they are there, and they know that we are going to be his target, right? So what we see here is, if the intent of the devil is to stay in the possession of two men, why did he go into the swine, and then why did he kill all the swine? The intent is actually to make the people scared, right? So that they will not welcome Jesus into their area. So it's the same for our spiritual life, that when we are walking with the Lord, you have to be on the alert. We take another case of Luke chapter 22, verse 3. "Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. Judas Iscariot also fall into this. When there is an opportunity, if we are lower our guard, we can actually get into this attack where we are deceived into doing something, thinking that we are doing it right. Another example you can find is in the book of Acts, chapter 5, verse 3. "But Peter said, Ananias, why had Satan filled thy heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land?" Ananias do not have to lie to the Holy Spirit. It is his own freedom to give. He can give half, right? But he end up lying and thinking that he can get away with it. He can get all the glory or the recognition just like everybody else who give all their possession. So we got to bear this in mind, that as a child of God, the kind of warfare that we are fighting, right, the kind of things that is going to come at us, it is not something that we should underestimate the problem. Because if we think we are doing something in the will of God, right, and we misled it out of our own enthusiasm, we can fall. So another example, which we will not turn to it, is King David. Satan provoked him to number, right, his army. God do not base on human strength, human understanding and numbering. God wants you to completely trust him. Right? So what I want to touch on today is really something that we got to know our spiritual warfare we are fighting. Okay? And we must know, how should we walk in our daily walk so that we keep the Holy Spirit always in the presence of God. I would like you all to turn to the book of 1 John, right? The book of 1 John. Let's look at chapter 3. We are given this privilege and honor, right? The Bible says here that the love of God that God gave to us as a child of God, right, is what is going to help us stand through the trial of time and help us to recognize our walk with the Lord, how we should respond to it. Okay? I'd like to bring your attention to verse 10. If this, the children of God are manifest and the children of the devil, whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. So, in our walk with the Lord, you must understand the truth that is in God's word and what God is showing us, how we should respond to the truth. Right? So here, the book of John is saying that for if we are a child of God, right, we must love our brethren. If we ever have a situation that we cannot love a brother, then something is wrong. Right? So that one we must be aware. And in verse, we read down, for this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should not, we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. Wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you, we know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren, and he that loveth not his brethren abideth in death. So here, it is the same spirit that is attacking in the Garden of Eden between Cain and Abel. Cain cannot accept that his sacrifice was not recognized by God. And because Abel did it right, and he did it in righteousness, but Cain hid it so much that he slew him. Right? So it's the same in our context. In our spiritual walk with the Lord, when we are a child of God, the Bible says we cannot live in the flesh and still say that I'm a child of God. It doesn't, the two cannot click. Right? So then where do we understand our spiritual growth, and how do we differentiate between am I maturing, am I growing, or am I still in my old man, the same old way? Okay, this is very important that as a child of God, you must have that experience, or you must have that conviction, right? That the Lord is your child of God and the Lord's in you. It cannot be something that I try to tell you when you don't have the experience. I try to explain to you. I try to describe to you. An experience is a personal relationship, and God will convict you. Okay? So that's the first step. Now, when you have that experience, no other things will be able to take it away from you, be it your mind, your reasoning, or the things that happen to you in your life. The Bible didn't promise us that when we become a child of God, everything will be good. You will have a prosperity, you will have a good life, everything is smooth going. No. But what the Lord said was that if you believe in me, right, the things that I do, you will do. So each and every one of us has got that responsibility of walking in the Holy Spirit, and the Lord can use you to be a light to the world. That means your life that you have, the people that you meet along the way, have your life touch them to tell them that there is a God? It is never the same for someone who is not having that experience, not able to put God first above all things. So here, We must always know that the way when we are given this experience, right? If we can go continue from 1 John chapter 3, reading from verse 16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. That's what the Lord requires of us, right? Even to the extent of giving up your own lives for the brethren. Okay? So, but whoso had this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shut up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? So, the Apostle John stated very clearly that if it is the love of God is in you, it will be able to trigger in you that compassion, okay? That ability to see a brother in need, to help a brother. Why are we able to come so far? The more the enemy attack us, the more they persecute us. Look at how the children of Israel were persecuted in the Holocaust. Look at the early apostle days, how they were thrown into the period where they have the persecution. They were all like martyrs. And all that believe and do not denounce Christianity will be thrown into the arena to die. Right? Why is it possible? How did that come about? You have to know that when you have that experience of God, right, all these things, when the Holy Spirit take over, you don't even feel the sorrow or the hurt. It's actually you are living in the presence of God. How is that possible? We all know that we have built our body, mind, and our body, our mind, and our spirit, right? It's in us. And all the things that we see and hear is always being received by our mind. Okay? But deep within you, if you can apply the Word of God and you have that faith, God is able to lift you up beyond the pain and the hurts that you are suffering so that you can know the presence of God and the power of God in you. I've seen the testimonies of this this Brother Yin and the kind of house church in China. I couldn't believe it. It's just that the more they are persecuted, the more they are being tortured, they have gone beyond that. You know? They are there and knowing that they will be going through all the torture. But to them, it is always the Word of God. And if the Lord permits it, we give glory to God. You know, that is the kind of power of the Holy Spirit working in you when you experience it and you know how the Lord works. So, in verse 18 here, he says, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Right? And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. And if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. But beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. So truly, that kind of experience, that kind of faith is a personal experience that each and every one of us must ask the Lord to help us to get to know it better. It is true that when we are given this salvation, and many times we ask ourselves, actually it is not us, but it's the Lord that lead us, and we are here, correct? But we give God the glory. But the moment the trials and the testing starts to come, right, and the pain, then we ask ourselves, why is it so, right? Especially when God is dealing with us, and God is trying to to make us be aware, right, that the warfare that you're fighting is not something that you should take it lightly. It's constantly attacking you. Okay? Why I say that is, you realize that as we try to testify, right, as we try to live a life to our colleagues and our friends, then you will understand why. They can never understand why you can believe, right, such a simple truth. You just have to believe, right, and salvation is yours. You have to believe first, correct, in order for you to see the power of God and the word of God working. So that is the kind of privilege that we have, right? We are all given that opportunity of God taking you into His fold and calling you a son of God and give you that inheritance in you, correct? It's not, I'm good in something, that's why God picked me, right? No way, right? It is because God loves you and He picked you, correct? And He put His Holy Spirit in you that He is the author and the finisher of our faith, and He knows that we can make it and we will be more like Him. So the process of knowing more of God to be able to live a life where His Holy Spirit can work through us and help us to help a brethren, right, to really see and detect their pain and the suffering, able to bring them up, right, and able to be used by God to touch them. That's the kind of love, that's the kind of Holy Spirit manifestation that we must have, right? It is not something that is, how do I put it? You know, when to be at a stage where we are downcast, kicked aside, right? Just like the Lord when He was pushed all the way, right, to the cross. Okay? It's not that He don't deserve it, right? But yet He gave in obedience to God, He surrendered everything. That is the kind of life that the Lord is going to show us. If you want to have that experience with Him and walk closely to Him, you got to start by being like the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? That is the best example we can give. So, if you want to reach that, the first thing you must do, right, is to also take a look at how the Lord was, right, before He reached Calvary. Let's turn to the book of John. Chapter 5, verse 30. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just. Because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. So the work that you have, you must really seek the will of God in your life, right? We are all here for a purpose. We are not here by chance. But why we are here, the reason why we are here, and what we must go through, God has given us that ability, right, to know that He loved us, He called us here, and He put us here for a purpose, right? And we must learn to be like our Lord Jesus Christ. Seek the will of God in you, where you are. Second, in chapter 6, verse 57. As the living Father has sent me, I live by the Father. Here, the Lord is saying that if God were to give me, right, more to serve Him, I would live, right, to serve Him. I live by the Father. I am willing to live on because of what the Lord has put us in. You know what I mean? God put us here and God permits us, right? It's not the pain and the suffering or the hurt or why are we having this problem? Why can't God take it away from me? It's not all that. It is your heart, right, and your soul knowing the privilege that you have, the kind of inheritance that you have. if the Lord himself gave up everything and died for us on Calvary, what is in it for us? Right? And we know that in chapter 8 of John, verse 42, it says here that Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, ye would love me, for I proceed forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Where we are, whatever life that we have, God put us there for a purpose. And it is just like our Lord Jesus Christ, he was placed and put forth in that position to bring the message to the Pharisees and Sadducees, telling them that they are all blinded in their tradition. They don't understand the word of God and the truth that God is doing. And to them, the more the Lord brings to them, the more they hate it. Right? Can you imagine when the Lord do a miracle of raising a child, to them is they were not there to see it, right? So they're thinking, no, maybe this is not true, you know? But then when he set free, do all the miracles, they also don't believe it, right? So what was the ultimate? It was Lazarus, right? He died. 3 days he died inside there, right? And then everybody will be thinking he'll be rotting. And the Lord, you know, call him out. The conclusion by the religious leader, they're all out to kill him because they're losing all their, right? The people are all drawn towards God, right? So this is how the devil will work. Okay? If he cannot take away the truth, he will give you a lot of strife and conflicts within, whether in your family, in your life, in the church, or among the church, anything, just as long as you can blame God, right? And say that he's at fault, okay? And give up with God. That's what the devil will do. So, what the more we should do is, we must know that God gave us his Holy Spirit, and the power of the Holy Spirit in us is something that we must learn to bring it and apply it and know where we stand. So, we all know that in the book of Acts, when the Holy Spirit came, they all spoke in tongues, correct? And then everyone was... But the scorners were there, right? They said, these people are drunkard, right? So, how did the power and the manifestation of the Holy Ghost happen? If you really look at it, that was when Peter gave glory to God. See, the same man that you crucified and nailed on the cross, right? God made him both Lord and Christ, right? And when he uttered that, right, the power of God manifested. So in your life, what is it that you, in you, that you need to have to see God's power and glory, and power of his Holy Spirit manifest in your life? It is giving glory to God. If your life, whatever you do, give God the glory, it doesn't matter how much pain or suffering you go through, how much injustice is being done to you, it is the Lord that receives the glory, then all glory unto him. If I have to die like my Lord, go to the cross of Calvary, weep and the flesh torn from my back, right? Because it is his love for you, right? That is what we should be doing. So, brothers and sisters, you look at the early churches. We take a look from 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 5 or chapter 4. I think it's chapter 4. Yeah. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and the doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, for forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meat, which God created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. So, what is the Lord pointing? The Lord is telling us that the Holy Spirit speaketh expressively that at this later time, right? In this time, the little time, it's almost 2,000 years, right, since the apostles' days, you will see plenty of deceiving spirits and things that are downright contradictory, lies and hypocrisy. And all these are tearing away the truth. And in fact, we all know, right, that Christianity is the most attacked. There's so many religions, so many beliefs. I tell you, for someone who is new and he tried to search the net, right, to find out which is true and false, you'll be drowned, right? It is only the Lord and His drawing of His Holy Spirit is able to bring the child to Him. All other effort, you will be confused. So, what I'm saying this is that the warfare we are fighting, okay, and the position that we are taking, it is something that we must be conscious of and dwell on it and work on it and don't let the enemy take it away from you. So, I want to share that the fact that we need to be conscious of our spiritual experiences with God, right, is actually the lifestyle that you have. If you are having a lifestyle where you think that you're still young, right, you still have a lot of time, okay, and or you are very busy doing well in your work, and you think that your time is too precious, you know, you cannot afford time for God. Right now, this is the kind of things that the devil will swarm your life and cause you to have that kind of roller coaster experience in your life where you just can't find time for God, you know, and or you can't put aside the time to know whether are you listening when God is talking to you. You know what I mean? Yeah. So this is something that each and every one of us must know. If God called us and gave us a life that we might live so that we can be the light to the world, and He wants us to manifest that love of God in Him, then we must learn to walk in the presence of God every day, every moment of your life. Your prayer life is not a period where you set aside a certain time and a certain day. Your prayer life is your communication with God, which we saw in the book of Philippians. Pray without ceasing. Keep on praying to God every day, right? So, in our work with the Lord, I like the example of the book on In His Step, right? Where whatever you do, you just ask yourself, if Jesus is me now, what would Jesus do? Would I miss putting God first, you know? Or would I do something? So somehow or other, do you know that when we are when we ask the Lord and tell the Lord that, no, Lord, why can't you help me, you know, and give me that ability and that knowledge, right, to be like this brother or that sister, you know. Or maybe it's not God's will for me, you know. Do you know that we men, especially I speak for myself, most miserable, okay? Why? Because I have 1,001 excuse I can find, correct? When my boss don't like me, I say, Lola, his personal agenda, couldn't be bothered, correct? That's the kind of attitude we can adopt. It's where we are when we come to what God is promising you, right? The amount of the amount of love and the kind of what we call how much God reach out to us, we have really we let Him down, right? Because we have not responded to it. And we have not fully surrendered our life to Him. And we have not given up our all for Him. That is what we are. We are men most miserable. Right? You can see that in the book of Jeremiah. And we all know, right? but let me just go there and share with you what we see in the book of Jeremiah, how much the Lord loved us and how much He cared for us, and He has actually helped us through. Jeremiah 31. You can read in your own time the whole chapter, but you can see that amidst all that the children of Israel have done, that God said, I'm going to ask the destroy Jerusalem and send you all into captivity. Correct? But the Lord said here, okay, that in verse 3, the Lord had appeared of old unto me, saying, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. You know, the privilege of a child of God, when they fall, right, and they drifted away, you know how much the Lord will do? You just look at how much the children of Israel rejected God, and God still said this, right? That's why when God is pulling you back, you'll be the same way, right? Everything will be gone. All the things that you want to do will just collapse. Why? Because God is calling you back. So that's what happened to them, right? They were so sure of themselves, right? And we as a child of God, right, we must know that it is His love, right? And He's really going to help us. See, in verse 6 He says, and there shall be a day that the watchman upon the Mount Ephraim shall cry, arise ye, and let us go up to Zion unto the Lord our God. He's going to place watchmen to warn us and help us and to call us back to Him. Be alert, right? And you can find in verse 9, right? And they shall come with weeping and with supplication, will I lead them. And I will cause them to walk by the rivers of water in a straight way, wherein they shall not stumble, for I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Amen. So the Lord, when He calls you and you are falling away, it will be in the same manner, right? Your trials and your pain and your suffering in weeping and supplication, He will bring you back. So just like what we all know in Psalm 61, King David, God will never look away from a broken and contrite heart. Right? Yeah. Then you can find that in verse 12, therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, and shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord. For wheat, for wine, for oil, for the young of the flock and of the herd, and their soul shall be as a watered garden, and they shall not sorrow anymore at all. So, brothers and sisters, when we draw nigh to know more of the goodness of God, when we, what will bring all this forth, the joy? It's our singing, our worship. You have to worship the Lord, right? Then you will be able to discover the... It is always the reverse, that the world will sell Christianity as a prosperity Christianity, right? But it's the other way around, that you have to go through all your surrendering and let the Holy Spirit work in you, that God can change you until when you are walking right with God, the rest of the things will come. The watered garden, right? The needs of this, it will just come, right? That's how God works, okay? And we will really know in verse 14, right? Say, and I will satiate the soul of the priest with fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with my goodness. So, brothers and sisters, don't forget the goodness of the Lord. He's there. He's always there. Okay? So, where I'm coming from is when we are trying to grow, or trying to, you know, each and every one of us are in a different culture, different environment, different country, different settings. It is very hard for me to tell you what our brothers, Brother JP and Brother Ellie, they face in Lebanon, correct? Right? But How many will describe to you the brothers in Chatama, in Zambia, right? Compared with what we have. Okay? So I must say that those who are here in Singapore, we are overwhelmed with the other effects. So if you cannot get trials, wars, and pain, poverty, you get the other effect. You get entertainment, Netflix, social media, you know, anything. You don't have to sleep. You can keep on watching. Right? Then you get all the drugs and you get all the... So you look at how the enemies will attack us. Right? So what we are saying is that we got to know that we are fighting a warfare, and it's a very important position that we have to take. Don't take it lightly, right? And don't let your feelings and your emotion overtake what the Lord has given you as an experience, right? God don't work on emotion and feelings, okay? God works on your heart, right? How much you have experienced. You can never deny Him after you have that experience with Him. Amen? Yeah. So then, how does it work? We always try to see how to walk with the Lord and how to... The key is here. We turn to Nehemiah chapter 4. Chapter 4, reading from verse 7 to 9. But it came to pass that when Sambalat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth and conspired all of them together to come to fight against Jerusalem to hinder it. In verse 9, nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. So the answer is in verse 9. Right? Your warfare, your spiritual warfare, is a constant warfare. And your prayer, right, and setting a watch. You don't just pray, right, and let God do everything, but you don't do your part. You've got to set watch, right? They actually have to take a spear and see what the enemy is doing, right? And consciously help one another, make sure we don't fall away. Correct? So the setting of watch, okay? So what I'm trying to say, hope to be able to bring out is, the promises of God is there, right? But the warfare and the pain and the suffering will still be there. So what do we need to do? We need to, beside praying, beside knowing the Word of God, beside understanding how the Spirit of God works, we need to set and watch. Why? Because I'm telling you, the devil is not going to leave it. Right? He said he tried 3 times to get the Lord to deny God, right? He gave the Lord a break, then he come back later. Correct? That's the enemy that we have. Correct? So please, right, brothers and sisters, we are here. He's not going to leave it easy for us. But you know what the Lord say? He that begin the work in you, He will see you through. But the in-between is where I'm touching on. Correct? We must know that it's not a every one day in a week, but it's an everyday affair. Right? That you got to start the day, know that the warfare is there, and start the day with the Lord. Right? And ask the Lord to help you, watch over you, and protect you all the way. You know what the devil likes to do? He would never like you to be so used to it until you take it for granted. That's what the devil likes to do. Correct? Which we shouldn't. Right? The words, the promises of God that we speak and utter, how can the gospel be is you need to send a man to speak the word, right? The Spirit of God, right? The words of the Lord, they are spirit and life. It's the same for each and every one of you. You got to claim the promises of God and start the day with the Lord, and the Lord will see you through. Okay? Then we also need to we can go to John chapter 14. Verse 16. Here, the Lord has given us His Comforter, right? Oops, sorry. Verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. So, brothers and sisters, the purpose of this morning is to bring all of you to remembrance the warfare we are fighting, and to know that the Holy Spirit is always bringing all this into our mind to teach us, and to guide us and to tell us how we should fight the warfare. The kind of experience, the thoughts, or the things that you go through, is always in your mind, it is a memory in you that God has given you. Right? So bringing into remembrance is a very important factor that we must know. Okay? So when you have a past experience that is a feeling of anxiety, loneliness, or fear, or suspicious things that trouble you, right? These are your past negative memories that many of us, by nature, we will tend to want to forget. Correct? We will tend to put it away so that the memories that wound us and hurt us, okay, these are things that we want to forget. But in order for us to be able to be healed, you cannot ignore these negative memories. You must have a healing remembrance of it to know that the things that are hurting or injury, you have to learn to connect it to bring to the Lord so that the Lord can heal you. Okay? So if you are always going to be trapped, just like a person in depression, okay? Everything you do is negative, right? So the only way out is for us to break through that negative spiral, okay? To let to encounter it and to confess, right? And claim the promises of God to overcome it. Because God didn't save you, and then yet you're still every time feeling depressed, every time feeling negative about things. Something is not right, right? That's a lie from the enemy. Okay, so you got to know your position in God. And when we, as a fellow brethren, the life that we have, or the way we can share with you, is through the testimonies that we go through, correct? Through the experience that God has given. You all know the verse, right? In Revelation chapter 12, the devil is the accuser of the brethren, right? Correct? How do we overcome it? Not just by the blood of the Lamb, but by the testimonies of the brethren, right? Okay? Why? Because it is our faith in God that God helps us to overcome. There's no difference for you. It doesn't mean my faith is bigger than you. It is the same faith that you have. Because it's the same power of God. And when we are confronting the devil, it's for the glory of God. It's got nothing to do with our own fear and emotion. Correct? So you got to know that when we go into the nuance of fighting a warfare, or go into the issue of things, okay, there's a spiritual realm that we are fighting, right? We must apply the Word of God in the right context. Okay? Don't ever let your own emotion, your own feelings get the better of you. Don't try to do things for God on His behalf. Okay? So the essence of us being able to really get to know God and give glory to God, you can find in chapter 15, verse 8 of the book of John. Hearing is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. So I said before, the whole purpose of bringing the Holy Spirit to be a very strong and living light is that the fruits of the Holy Spirit will be manifested in the lives of the believers, in His disciples. Correct? And when God takes over, your experience and your negative things will just all go under the blood. You know what I mean? Correct? That means when we are trying to abide in the presence of God and abide in the Spirit of God, it is a constant daily experience. Right? But the moment we lose it, then Maybe I got distracted. You know what I mean? But that is what we call the warfare is in the mind. You understand what I mean? Right? So then the next thing is that there is a difference between what we call when you are new, right? When you first time come into the faith. Okay? Then you learn a word. Okay, that's like when you're a young child, okay, you're trying to train a young child that when you're in the house of God, right, don't run about, don't shout here and there because this is God's house, right? But when they go up to the adult, you don't tell them this, right? It's understood, right? But the basic foundation is the same. The fear of God, the respect for God, correct? But do you know that a young child is easier to teach compared to an old man, right? Okay. I say it because, anyway, human being human, I must admit, I'm very stubborn. Very hard to teach, right? But we must not, because that's an excuse, correct? If it is not right, it is not right, correct? Yeah, if it's wrong, it's wrong. So it's the same for the child, right? Then what is it in us? It is in each and every one of us to teach and to help someone to grow, right? And to set the example. One way of doing it is through training, right? To repeat the process. You cannot create a habit out of someone just by teaching him only once, right? You got to make him understand that if you want God to answer you, right, you must pray and ask for it, right? And tell God you need His help, right? You cannot say, God, you should remember, I only pray once. The next whole year, you please continue to do the part. It doesn't work that way, correct? So this is something that we must know. Then you have got the other aspect. When you grow from a family, from a young child, you become part of the family, you got responsibility, correct? You got things you have to do. They are all part and parcel of the household of God, right? So when God wants us to walk with Him and to really know where we are, what kind of things we can do to help one another, right? To make sure we don't fall, right? Make sure we don't lose. Maybe, you know, they fall into an experience that is bad. But the negative memory, when you correct it with the Word of God, with the Spirit of God, then you have your healing remembrance, your life. And the best way to do it is, you got to connect whoever that is going through their negative experiences back to the Word of God, back to Jesus. Did our Lord say that His life was 3.5 years is beautiful, while He's enjoying it all the while? No, correct? What did the Lord say? You want to follow Me? Correct? Then you must learn to suffer like Me first. If you don't suffer like Me, you're not part of Me. Isn't it? Yeah? You can find that, right? He is the captain of our suffering. Why is it so? When God moves from there over, right? We are talking about the old man. As long as we are still in this old man, right? You have to bring it under the subjection of the Spirit of God, right? And put it, right? Nail it to the cross, right? So that you won't get up, right? So the point is that if you are able to know that God is trying to tweak us and tell us, and keep on telling us that you have to pray, you know, you have to spend time, you got to bring the word. If we are in trouble, right, I think our biggest trouble is we can never remember the Bible verses enough. That's our biggest problem. Why? Because it is the promises of God, it's the Word of God, right? And Psalms 23 we know, right, the Good Shepherd, there is a God's psychiatrist to us, right? And the Lord's Prayer, how we should walk. And then Psalms 1, the kind of life, right? How to have a blessed life, how you should walk. Don't go among the sinners and the scornful, correct? So, is this something new? We have been hearing it, right? Many times, round and round again. Then, what is our part? You must be spiritually aware. And daily, you must be aware, right? And make an effort, an intention to grow in the Lord. If you don't put on the effort, you don't put on the time to grow and know more of God, you try and do it only once a Sunday, I think it's not enough. You cannot even remember when you go out from here what you have heard. Correct? So I suggest that all of us start journaling our experience with the Lord, right? Because it is your record in your, do you tell yourself that what God has blessed me, correct? So once you do that, then the devil knows that it's not playing a fool. We are actually taking this warfare seriously. Okay? So, in the book of Proverbs, chapter 27, Proverbs 27:17. Iron sharpen iron, so a man sharpen the countenance of his friend. This is what we must do. Eh? We ought to be accountable for one another, help to sharpen one another spiritually, right? To draw even closer to God. Eh? To see how we can, through this warfare, sharpen our knowledge in the Word of God, right? And really use it to help one another move closer to Him. Okay? Then next, you got to understand the other aspect of how God gives us the gifts of the Holy Spirit to operate in the church, right? Remember the Bible says that in Joel that we will give your children dreams, correct? That's how the Holy Spirit works in the church and how it moves the church closer to Him. So sometimes we might not realize, but maybe your brother or sister say, I don't feel good, I don't think we should do this, let's pray about it, correct? That's important, right? Because the Lord is always there. Our problem is we are always not sensitive enough to the Lord. You know what I mean? Correct? So when we want to do something, we should actually, like what Nehemiah do, right? Pray and watch one another, help one another along. If your brother keep on going to this place that is smoke and drink and thinking that he can go there and convert them, I think you will need some wisdom, right, in the things we want to do, right? So the Bible says in Philippians 4:7, right? When you want to do something as a child of God, you're very privileged, right? And that kind of privilege gives you that inner peace. So in Philippians 4:7, we see here, right, that the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So here we're talking about your mind. If it is not at peace, you need to seek the Lord. You know what I mean? Correct? Because something has taken hold of you and you lose that peace of God in you. Right? And it actually even keep your heart. Correct? You how do we put it? Is when you experience it, you will know, right? It's something you want to do but you don't feel, just don't know why you don't feel good, you know? Correct? That's the hand of God watching over you. That's the angel of the Lord covering you, watching you. You know what I mean? Right? So the ability to discern, to train our ears, right? To understand dreams and vision or things that come into our life, right? What we see. I'm telling you, we are all narrowed and blind by our own perspective of things. Please look from God's Word, correct? Please look from the position of God. Don't look at your own perspective, okay? Why do I say that? Is, you know, when Naaman, remember the Bible says that we are treasures of clay, correct? What is this treasure that's in us? It is the Spirit of God in us, right? But how did God use the little maid in the King Naaman's palace to tell him there's a God in Israel that can heal your leprosy? Correct? That's the kind of what would make her do it, right? And but it's all God doing it. You understand what I mean? Correct? So each and every one of us, we have to help one another along in the family of God to nudge one another. Right? There are certain things in the wickedness, all right, of things that happen. You really need a very strong apostolic ministry to destroy it and take it to task. But there are other things within the family of God that when you walk with the Lord, right, you must learn to be sensitive to the Spirit of God and to have that wisdom. Right? Ask God for it. Huh? You know, right? In the book of James, he says, if any of you lack wisdom, please ask God for it. Ask God to give you the ability to discern, right, what is right and wrong, and the ability to not to look at the fault of the brethren or the things that hurt you. Why? It could be an opportunity for you, right, to show the love of God, right? So this is something that we must have it. And when you have the Holy Spirit in you, you will have that spiritual boldness to evangelize and speak for God. Okay? So, we are talking about this very important. You see, in the book of John 10, this is something that we all will have to hold very dear to our heart. Right? John 10, verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So do you need to hear the voice of this pastor, that pastor, this minister? Or you need to hear the voice of your shepherd? Correct? Right? It's the Lord's voice that you must learn to listen and hear to. Okay? And God says that my sheep will hear my voice. Okay? So, the intent for us to know that this Christian walk is to keep on having that experience and that ability to hear the voice of God when He's calling you. Okay? And it must trigger in you, right, to have this hunger, a deep hunger for more of God, more of the presence of God. If you, how do you call it? When the woman was asking the Lord Jesus to heal, I think, her child, right? And the Lord says that, no, I'm only, right, given to the children of Israel, right? Are not here for the Gentiles. They are like dogs, right? But the woman said, even the dogs, right, they actually pick up the crumbs that drop from the master's table. That's the kind of hunger. So if you want to have that closer walk, to have the presence of God, you've got to have the same hunger, right? And if you don't do it, you look at what God has to do with the children of Israel in the book of Jeremiah, right? That's how, why the Bible says that the Christian walk, if it's a true Christian walk, is one of pain and suffering, because it makes me closer to God. It teaches me, right, how to depend on God, right? It changes me, because that's what God wants to do for us, to meet Christ in us, correct? So this is what we must have, that desire, the hunger, to have more of God. And God didn't say it's a very complicated task, right? He said, my sheep hears my voice. Right? We know when He's calling. So each and every one of us, right, you have to do and ask yourself, what are the things that you got to do to delight God? Right? What are the things that you have to approach so that we can help one another along the way, you know, as brethren? You got to have that the mindset, the battle is won. I mean, the war, God has won the war, but the little battle that we are facing, right, is for us to learn how to gain the victory, right? Why the weakness that you have keep coming back and you keep on falling is for you to gain the victory, right? So in this way, we are able, right, to let our life shine forth. And people look at you, they know that you are different. Right? I mean, I must say that as a child of God, whatever work that we are doing, whatever life that we come in contact with, we put God first. Right? We don't go about, you know, trying to backbite someone you don't like in your colleague, you know, and try and backstab somebody, you know, and try to be selfish, hoard your things, and then creating such a way that, you know, we always use the word, if you have this kind of friends, you don't need enemies. You know what I mean? Correct? The moment they come into your presence,
everybody will walk away. But the moment he talk, correct, he will be boasting about himself, you know. So this is what we call, when you have a child of God, has a spirit of God in them, they don't bring in all this. We're not comparing, we're not fighting for glory, we're not fighting for to be the number one authority. God is the authority, right? Yeah, if you want it, please take it. Yeah, if you think that I'm in the way, please tell me, I'll go. Correct? So this is what we call, you got to understand that who is in the driver's seat? It is God. Correct? Yeah. Do I need to do this, do that, do this, do that, you know, and then trying to move the plan of God faster? No. You got to learn to follow and follow God's leading, follow God's pace. Okay? So that is the part about your life growing. There's a lot more to it. But I just want to remind all of you that you must have that desire. Once you have that desire and you ask yourself, why? Okay, then we go into the family condition again. It's that sometimes when you are at a certain age, you have a certain responsibility. You know the culture of the U.S.? At the age of 21, they will go out. Right? They will survive on their own. Then they will appreciate why. How come I didn't know who is doing all my laundry for me? I'm going to worry about food. Correct? How come I have to clean all this? I must do all these kind of things. Yeah. But if you are in the family, it's very different. I always say that I only have one granddaughter. Right? So the Chinese culture versus the way the child run, I say, oh my goodness, you know, you fall, so what, you know, you get cut, so what. So this is what we call this one thing good, God is the one in control, right? So he will see each of us in our own makeup, in our own culture, in our own. I must say that, remember when we talk about the love of God, I shared that, you know, how can God bother to turn the water into wine, yeah? It's not a big thing, right? Correct? The bridegroom's run out of wine, so be it, lah. Correct? Well, and then she says, it's not my time. And then the mother says, just do whatever he says. Correct? So, I tell you something. This is God, right? So, you not that you should take advantage of God, but sometimes God has a heart, right? And the kind of love that he do, to go to the extent, just to worry about, you know, yeah, I'll turn it to wine. Okay? Next is Nicodemus, right? It's too short. He cannot see. So you got to climb up the tree, right? The way he collects the taxes, everybody hate him. No matter how big a house, nobody want to entertain him. But that day, Jesus Christ, look at him, he was looking down on the tree. Today, I'll come to your house. Okay? When God speaks like that, what did Nicodemus say? Everything that I have, whoever I cheat, right, I pay them back fourfold. I give half of my wealth away. Right? That's how God works, right? Right? You just need to know that the Lord knows your heart. Right? The Lord knows you. He's trying to push you a little bit closer to Him, right? So that He can do more with you. You know what I'm saying? Okay? It's not you know, we are human, right? Being here, we'll compare, we'll look at this and that. But that kind of love that the Lord had, okay, is something that we all know that we also can have. Correct? When Naomi, right, due to the famine, correct, left over the other side, the husband died, you know, the son died. Both sons also died, correct? And he reached a stage where he says, you know, the hand of the Lord is helping, but he knows that he needs to go back to Israel, correct? And he took that stand. And we know the story of Ruth, right? How she gave up everything to follow her. Why is it so? But we all go through life, different experiences, different pain, different suffering. So Naomi went through that. But when she came back and she saw the Lord working on this, the kinsman redeemer, right, for her, for Ruth, she recognized God. And she has the privilege, right, to be in the lineage, right, the son, right, of our Lord Jesus Christ. So it's the same for all of us. God called you, He started a work in you, He will finish it, right? And He will see you through. What we're trying to do now is within this stage that we are in, more trials and testing will come. We all know, right? The political instability within our own election, you know, the kind of jobs. You can tell from the kind of job loss, and it is not good, okay? But for us, what are we looking for? We are looking for the coming of the Lord, okay? And when the Lord says He's come, He will come. Okay? But what is it that you can do to glorify Him and to be a part of Him, for you to contribute to the kingdom of God? What is it that you can do? We have to live our lives such that we can do something for God's glory, right? It's for you to help your brethren, right? To make sure that they don't fall along the way, correct? To help lift up anyone that is in trouble, right? Spiritually, and, you know, help them move along. Why? Because the same God that saved you also tell you to take care of your brother, correct? Right? So this is what I meant by the hindrance, the kind of hunger that we should have, right? So if it doesn't work, you still cannot have that hunger, then you try fasting, right? Try fasting and see whether God will give you the hunger to have that love for Him and more for Him. How desperate you are, right? Your life, your spiritual growth is in your hands. You must really have that desire and push yourself forward, right? And this is how God will actually respond to you, right? Because He promised it. He will never take it back, right? He's there for you. So the point also that we need to really be very careful is when God deal with Naaman, the widow, that the oil and the rice never go dry, that fed Elijah, right? When God deal with all of them, God deal with them very specially. They deal with them according to the needs. You understand me? So we as a child of God, we need to understand that everyone is different. We must be very prayerful if we want to help someone. Don't do it without the leading of the Lord. You know what I'm saying? Okay? So we don't go into something that we think we are right, you know, it works here, the same should work here, the same should work here. Ah, that's not wise, okay, right? You must be prayerful, right? And you must know the leading of the Lord before we go in and intervene. So it is always good to wait upon the Lord. I tell you something, but when God wants you to do something, it's not a still small voice. It's very loud. You cannot don't do. You are in deep trouble. Right? He wants you to do this, He wants you to do. Understand? Okay? That's how God works. Right? God is not playing masa with you. that term is like playing kids play. Never mind, we'll do another day. No, it doesn't work. When I do that to someone, right? He knows he can get over this grandfather. When my wife do it, no miss no. Great. So it's the same with the Lord. Okay? So, indeed, we are all have gone through a lot, and you must know that the kind of experience we have, you know, the kind of life we have is in our hands. You got to do something, right? So you cannot be bogged down by all these kind of things that distract you, hindering you from drawing closer to God. Don't let it happen. It is what we call, we go to Isaiah 59, the book of Isaiah, chapter 59, verse 2. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, and He will not hear. You understand? Right? So what we're talking about here is, we all know that God is so kind to us and so wonderful. You know, He's always there. But when we started feeling, you know, disconnected, and then we lost the presence of God, it's definitely because things have separated us, and sin and iniquity is definitely the main thing. Then the other aspect is
your life, your attitude, how you spend time with God. You know, the other day we were having a motivational talk, and then now it's very common to have mindfulness. You know, in Singapore, it's very stressful. Everybody is having mental breakdown here and there, all kinds of things. So the first thing they'll do is that, well, you've got to learn to listen to your breathing. If you can listen to your breathing, actually you slow down until your mind cannot focus on things. You try to focus on your breathing. Actually, it's what the Bible says, like, be still and know that I'm God. Correct? That's what the Lord told us. Right? But there's a difference between the yoga, all those things that they do, and versus us who as a child of God who come towards the Lord and upon the word of God. There's a world of difference. Okay? They can come out with whatever they want to do and find peace. It's still not the same. Okay? Yeah. So don't let Satan give you other versions. Right? But always come to the word of God. Okay? Praise the Lord. Let's close the prayer. Shall we all stand? Yeah. Amen. Father, truly, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this little sharing. I pray, Father, that you will touch the hearts of my brothers and sisters. Stir in their hearts, Lord, the desire to have a closer walk with you and more of your presence. Lord, may you break down this word further into all the hearts. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. Praise the Lord.